The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who murder the flesh. For we are the real circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcision on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead."
Good morning. What a privilege it is to preach the Word of God. I had a friend in El Salvador. He had a B&B, you know, a B&B car. They're good cars. And he was really happy with his car. He would wash his car every day. I'm not lying to you, every day. And if you touch his car, be careful. He will be upset. But then he lost his job. And he was a smart guy. And so he came to us, to me and some other friends, and he says, "I'm thinking about maybe selling or trading my car because I just can't afford it anymore." He was really sad. So another friend of us, he had a Corolla, which, as you know, those are also good cars. So he had this idea, and he said, "Hey, what if we can trade our cars?" So my friend was like, "Okay, that's fine, let's do it." So they did it. At the beginning, my friend with his new B&B, he was really happy, of course. He was dating more because of his car. But we talked with him and we said, "Hey, you should think about this." Of course, this was before he taken the decision to trade his car, his Corolla. Because he had a good job, but not a good one like to afford a B&B. And in El Salvador, of course, we have many B&Bs, but or if you are 22 years old or your parents are rich or you have a really good job. And he didn't have any of those, so. But after a few months, my friend, he was taking the bus and he was not driving his B&B anymore. So we came to him and we asked him, "Hey, what happened with the car?" So he said, "I don't have the money to fix the car. I need new tires and I need some parts and they're just too expensive." But my other friend, in the beginning, of course, he was sad. He was missing his B&B, but he was doing better. He was saving money and he had a Corolla. So it was something good for him. And one of the things that we will see in this passage is the greatest trade ever. My central message for this morning would be, God has granted us the privilege of believing in Christ and suffering for him. Therefore, let us follow his example by serving others in love. My point number one is having my joy in the Lord. Verse 1 says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not trouble to me and is safe for you. A chapter before, in chapter 2, on this same letter, Paul will wonderfully present the gospel. Talking about Jesus, he said in chapter 2, verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And after these verses on the same chapter, chapter 2, Paul talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. I had to repeat many times this name. About Timothy, he said, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And talking about Epaphroditus, he said, honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ. Both of them suffered for Christ's sake. As we will see, Paul will also present what he has lost in this chapter 3. And we all know that he wrote these letters from jail. And his message is, rejoice in the Lord. I know people who, if they are having a bad day, they will feel upset if they talk with people having a good day. I know people like that. Some people having a good day would prefer not to talk with people having a bad attitude. The Philippians are being persecuted. And Paul just said that Epaphroditus almost died. They know he's in jail, but he's asking them to rejoice in the Lord. Do you know how is this possible? Just in Jesus. Just in the Lord. My aunt and my uncle, they lived in Altadena, and they just lost their house and everything they had inside. They are not Christians. What do you think they will tell me if I call them to say, rejoice in the Lord? Paul is not at the best hotel writing to people being persecuted. But he knows that the power that lives in him lives in the Philippians. Verse 2, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And I know, guys, that you all love dogs. And I have had many dogs as well, in El Salvador, not here. But in their context, in this context, they were not pets. They were not considered cute. Jesus said, do not give dogs what is holy. And now people celebrate their birthdays, and that's fine. And they put a birthday hat on him. We were with Andrea last month on December for Christmas to Santa Clarita, to this mall. And you know, these people, they put Christmas trees so you can have pictures with your kids or your family. So we saw this baby stroller, and we said, oh, there's a baby. And no, it was a dog. And this lady, she's taking pictures of this dog right in front of the Christmas tree. And that's what people is doing now, and I'm fine with that. When Paul says, look out, we need to pay attention to that. Some Jews said, yes, we believe in Christ, and he's alive, but you also need your works to be saved. Verse 3, for we are, Paul says, the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So these people, they had their confidence in their flesh. This is what we know. And this is what we do, and this is what we are. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't worship God. Paul said, look out. It is a real danger to put our confidence in our flesh. But those who have the Spirit have their confidence in Jesus and worship in Spirit and truth. We worship by the Spirit, and we glory. When we glory in Christ Jesus, we rest in what he has done. There is one reason for you to rejoice in the Lord. Our joy does not depend on what we can achieve, but on what Jesus has won for us. Even when we know this, we are also tempted to put our confidence in earthly things, not for our salvation, but for our joy. We can also think we are losing our joy because of the situations we face. But now we are in Christ. Before we move into this country, to California, with my family, that was in 2023. Wow, just 2 years ago. And before that, we were living in El Salvador, and I had to go to Dallas to work for a few months in order to save some money so we can move here. And it has been one of the hardest decisions that I have had to take. Because Sebastian, he was just 3 months old. And of course, I want to be with my kids, with Santiago, with Sebas, with my wife. And also, I remember that 2 days before I'm going to Dallas. I was leading worship for the last time in our church in El Salvador. And I was working for the ministry for at least 12 years in El Salvador. So that was really hard for me. Just in 2 days later, I'm in Dallas working. No family, not in my house, in my country, doing what I want to do, what I love to do. But God has been always good with us, and I found a really good church in Dallas. It was a Baptist church. And my first time there, it was when I heard this song that we have been singing here, Rejoice in the Lord. And the chorus says, with each breath he's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. And I'm crying. When I'm listening to this psalm, I'm just crying, thinking about everything. And even when we do have many reasons to praise the Lord, what this psalm reminded me of was about the gospel. I will always have a reason to praise the Lord. And God is good all the time. So I sent this song to Andrea, and I told her that it would be our song for every season. But you can't rejoice in the Lord if you have confidence in yourself, others, or this world. We have put our faith in Christ, but we have to live every day depending on him. So point number one, having my joy in the Lord. Point two, putting my confidence in the Lord. Verse four, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. You know, there are people still fighting about which phone is better, iPhone or Android. The funny part is that they haven't had the chance to try the other phone. I mean, Kyle has both, so what do you think? iPhone, right? How can you know yours is better? You can read about it, but you also need to experience it. And Paul says, if they have reason to confidence in the flesh, I have more. Just wait. Verse 5 and 6, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul first listed four things that were his possessions by birth. Paul then listed three things that were his by personal choice and conviction. In summary, if anyone could claim to please God by law-keeping and the works of the flesh, it was Paul. He was far more qualified than his opponents were. Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was not looking for something new, and then he found Jesus. He had his confidence in his flesh, but Jesus appeared to him, and there was an exchange. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul is not just confessing this. He has lost everything, and people can see it. And even when he has lost everything, he rejoices in the Lord. Those dogs, they don't know, but Paul has gained what they can't. When we believe in Jesus, we also proclaim that there's nothing we can do. Jesus did it all, and he paid it all. But also, this has to be noticed by others in our lives. When you are losing weight, people will tell you that is the best way to know you are doing it. Many of you have heard Ramsey, right? Ramsey show. And when people tell him they are in debt, he will say that their life has to change. He tells them that people will think they are crazy. They are not driving. They are now driving a cheaper car. They are not going to have food at restaurants as often as they used to go. If your joy and your confidence are in the Lord, people will see it. We don't think like they think, and we don't follow the same principles. We accept suffering, trusting in God's will. Our joy is the Lord, and our confidence rests in the Lord. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now, see this. People knew what Paul used to be. He was persecuting the church of Christ. And because now he's part of those of the way, he doesn't have the same respect. He lost his privileges. He didn't care. He had gained Christ. He said, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And this is not knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. There is a difference. Before he knew Christ, he was able to measure what he had gained. He just listed them. But now Paul, when he's praying for the Ephesians, he prays for them to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. All the happiness that this world gives us passes, all the pleasures and all the experiences, but in Christ we have rivers of living waters. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Where is my confidence in order to have Christ? My confidence is being found in him, not in my own righteousness. And remember, in verse 6, Paul ended that list by saying, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Having a righteousness that is my own is useless. It's worthless. It doesn't gain Christ. Paul has his confidence in Christ Jesus, and because of that, he has lost everything. It doesn't matter. He's my joy. He's my righteousness. Paul says to the Romans that he prayed for them to be saved. And he says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And this takes me to point three, sharing the suffering of Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So Paul has counted everything as lost so that he might have this surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. We all have said, people say that these tacos are the best. People say that this is the best country to live in. People say this and people say that. But we don't know if we haven't experienced it. We can believe because of others' experiences, but not because we have been there. Paul counts everything as lost, and he knows what he has won in Christ. Paul was in both situations. Now, let's see the connection of all this with verse 10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, share his sufferings, and be like him in his death. We are tempted to think that because I will experience the power of his resurrection, I won't get to share his sufferings. This power is not to avoid suffering, it's to endure suffering. Paul says that I may know the power of his resurrection, the power that raised Jesus acting us to make us born again. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And yes, there will be a time when with his power, all those who have believed in him will rise. But that power has made us born again, and in that power, we will endure all suffering in this life. Verse 10, and may share his suffering. Paul said to the Corinthians, I die every day. And if we remember, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. A cross is a place of execution. I die every day, die to myself. I'm not saying we all have to be persecuted as Paul. He knew why God called him. Paul said to the Romans, brothers, we are debtors to live guided by the Spirit. Paul didn't say go and be persecuted. In many chapters, you will find the apostles commanding us to serve and love others. And the foundation to say this was always the gospel. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 2, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I'm concerned about a generation of Christians in these times. They know, they believe and proclaim the gospel, but they excuse their actions in order to not serve others. We are not loving our brothers as ourselves. We are not interested in serving the Lord and our local church. And we have good excuses. We are not dying ourselves. Parents no longer encourage their children to serve in their churches. Even worse, they do not set an example, primarily in their homes, by serving sacrificially. According to Ephesians, our marriages should reflect the relationship of Christ with the church. Men, we must sacrifice for our wives as Christ did for that church. That sets the bar very high. To do that, we had to deny ourselves. Because now his power lives in us, we can rejoice in the Lord. Our confidence rests in the Lord, in Jesus. And because of the power that lives in me, I can share his suffering, denying myself to serve others sacrificially as he did it for me. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What does Paul mean by that by any means possible? I don't think he's saying he can lose his salvation. We have to remember that perseverance is necessary as Christians, but it's God who for his grace will keep working on us. And I like Paul saying this, because if Paul said that we shouldn't be living as if we don't have any goal. But I'm pretty sure that Paul was confident about his salvation in Christ. That's what gave him the conviction to do all he did. If we see the next verses, he said, "Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Paul also said to the Corinthians, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Those who have their confidence in the Lord will rejoice in him, will persevere, and will imitate Christ serving others. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And thank you, Jesus, for what you have won for us. Our confidence is in you. We rejoice in you. Help us in your power to endure sufferings, deny ourselves, and live for your glory, serving others in love as you did for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this last song.